We are back again to work, and it's very easy to fall into bad habits. A bad habit is neglecting the study of the Torah. Now, I haven't been here for several weeks, so I might not have neglected the study of the Torah, but what I have neglected is the study of the particular portions we are doing. And if one is away from it, I've explained to you before that the Torah says, you forsake me for one day, I forsake you for 2 days, which means you are 3 days away. And if you're away 3 weeks, it means you're away 9 weeks, which is rather a long time. I don't think it's going to be difficult to get into the subject. That won't be difficult. What may offer holiday, thank you very much. What may cause us a little bit of difficulty is getting into the swing of things again. Now, we'll overcome that difficulty also. I will allow, from time to time, a little sitting back. But when they will be sitting back, it won't be a hefsek from, it won't be an interruption from our work. It will just be a little bit of total relaxation. That is, relaxation within the province of the Torah. Now, gentlemen, we are Daf Zayin Omud Beis. We've got 2 pages and a little bit of comparatively easy Gemara. We don't have to keep our minds on one subject, page after page, week after week, keeping in mind one b'raisa after another b'raisa, a second b'raisa, a third b'raisa, a fourth b'raisa, a fifth b'raisa, and admission and seeing how it all fits into a patchwork. This is considerably easier than that, as if Hashem has ordained it this way, that it will help us all to get back into the swing of things. We are a slightly smaller number than we were hitherto. That may be all for the better. Don't forget that the purpose of the shiur is to learn how to learn. Consequently, you will be called upon to say certain parts of the Gemara. Whilst I've been away, Sol has been married. My personal mazel tov to him. I phoned you from New York on Saturday night and asked whether you got the message. I sent a special message to you.
Here, you got it from Mother Martha.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yes. Good. Thank you.
Yes.
Certainly did.
Just before I boarded the plane for Israel. Now, Sol, as you're still under the influence of your wedding, after the Yeshiva Shemei Amish there, still first month of wedding, of the wedding, would you start by doing the piece of Gemara? I'm going to introduce it just by a few words.
More than a few words.
You put it on the same page.
For a short while.
Every night, every Saturday night, twice you say, Hamafil Ben. Hamafil Ben.
My arm shot was April
5th. Right. All right. All I want you to realize is that in this piece of Gomorrah, what you've got to know is that in Israel, there were, in the days of the Mishnah, that is, this is the time of the Roman occupation, of course, which started, the Roman occupation started the year 70 and went into, well, into the 3rd century. During the Roman occupation, Palestine, as it was then, was divided into provinces. One of the names of the one of the provinces was the Golil, and another province was known as Yehudo. And it's just good to know there were several provinces. And the whereas the same law applied to every province, the same law applied to the whole country, it applied to the to all Jewry. There were in that law, there were what were known as minhagim, and I'll explain the word minhagim to you again in a moment. And these minhagim, commonly translated as customs, differed from state to state or from province to province. And there were quite serious differences in some of them, but there was always a reason for it. Now, I cannot impress upon you sufficiently that in the Torah there is no such thing as an exception. There is no such thing as an irregularity. It all fits into the scheme of the Torah. If there is an exception, then there is a rule within a rule. If there is an irregularity, then it's also there is a rule within a rule. And the seeming irregularity corresponds, if it doesn't correspond with the rule, it corresponds with the rule within the rule. And the rule within the rule does not conflict with the rule itself. It will become clearer as we go along.
Pardon, is this another thing that is that the Gemara sets up a hierarchy of and that the rule within a rule just differs from the rule in the sense that it has a more limited application?
That's right. That is right. Now, we speak about minhagim. A minhag is usually described as a custom. But there are three distinct types of minhagim that come to my mind immediately. The first minhag is what we call, we call it minhag, but it doesn't mean minhag. It doesn't mean custom, it means precedent. Now, precedent is something quite else, quite different from custom. There is a Jewish expression, a minhag brecht a din, that is, a minhag breaks a law, a custom breaks a law. It's nonsense if you then translate it literally. But what it says is perfectly correct. What it means is precedent, a set precedent breaks a law. So you've got the type of minhag that is a set precedent. If it's a set precedent, then that is law. Just no getting away from it.
Saying also minhag Israel dinhu.
That's right, but then it is, then it refers to precedent. So that
does it say minhag Yisrael was different from ordinary Stam minhag then?
Yes, of course. Okay. Yes. That is one type of minhag. The second type of minhag is really, it is a custom. It's a minhag. So you can have a minhag in one place, but that minhag doesn't apply to another place. That can be. The Sephardim have minhagim which we have not, and we have minhagim which the Sephardim have not. That can very easily come about. It can be a different in a minhag. We can have a minhag that the shin of the tefillin comes on this side. Some have got a minhag that the shin of the tefillin comes on this side. That's not a din. Certainly not. Then we've got a third type of Minog, which we call that a Minog Shtus. A Minog Shtus is, it's foolishness. There's no basis for it. It's just nonsense.
What would that be for an example?
An example.
Waiting 7 days waiting.
Are we a pardon?
Waiting 7 days.
Waiting 7 days for what? Let us not be personal. I'll give you a Minog Shtus. For example, there was a certain town in Germany where, when they took out the Sefer Torah, it was a Minog to turn your back to the ark. And Chas v'Shalom, if you didn't turn your back, a visitor came in and he didn't turn his back to the ark, he was not a terrorist, you see. Until somebody came along and said, look here, this is such a shtus, this is such a, it's so ridiculous, I want to find out what it's all about. And he found out what it's all about. This was a very small shoe. And what they had was, let's assume the ark was there, and that was the entrance, and the Rov sat there, the Gaboim sat there, very much as they don't do in Venice, and Bima was in the middle, and it was all very crowded. So they had the Brich Shmei written. And the Brich Shmei was written on the opposite wall. So when the Torah was taken out, everybody read the Brich Shmei and turned and read it on the wall. The time came when the Brich Shmei was taken away. It was old, it was torn, they took away the Brich Shmei. They said the Brich Shmei from their Siduri. But they still turned their backs and said that
it's a Helmut Meister.
Well, it's almost a Helmut Meister, but still, I mean, but that's it's an extreme example, but that is an example of a Minog Shtus. Now, one has to be careful of a Minog Shtus. You've got to be careful on two levels. The one level is just know that it's a Minog Shtus. The second thing is whatever you do, don't tell your hosts that it is a Minog Shtus. because it's from the point of view of the din, Derech Eretz is more important than Halacha. So just be careful. That's not the way to handle it. To them it's sacred. To them it's something that is sacred. You've got to be very careful to do something there. Be very careful about it. Many things like that. For today we know what Lashon Hara is, and everybody's very careful about Lashon Hara. But until 30 years ago, people weren't careful about Lashon Hara at all, and they spoke Lashon Hara. And nobody would think of eating pork 30 years ago. Today they do. But 30 years ago, in the olden days, they didn't think of eating pork. They didn't realize that according to the deen, speaking Lashon Hara was worse than eating pork. Worse than eating pork. Now, it's no good telling a person who doesn't eat pork and speaks Lashon Hara, you see, that's not the way to handle it. You've got to be... Not eating pork is something that is holy to him. Don't diminish that. You rather stress what it is, Lashon Hara. If you start telling too much that Lashon Hara is more important than eating pork, you've got the chance that he'll continue speaking all Lashon Hara, now he'll start eating pork. Won't you? One has to be careful about these things. But those are the different minhagim. Now here we're going to have a case in the Gemara where things were done differently in the province of Yehuda from the way they were being done in Golil and elsewhere. It's good to remember that at this particular stage in the development of the history of the Torah and the Am Yisrael, Yehudo was a province that played a lesser part than any other province in Israel. Yehudo was the province comprising Jerusalem and its immediate precincts. Don't forget that in the year 70, the seat of the Torah removed itself from Jerusalem just before the Romans entered, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai transferred it to Yavne, and from Yavne it went to Ushe, it went over, went round the Galil, and it, but it didn't go back to Jerusalem. So in Jerusalem and its environs you had dinim, and you had different dinim in the rest of the country, and it's good just to remember that distinction. That will be sufficient for an introduction, and I will be pleased if Saul will now start from Tonu Rabbono. It's easy, Gemara, follow it, and follow it with a view of being able to learn it and to repeat it. If anybody is faced with any difficulty, you just let me know and I'll let you know. We'll deck this on the pot. Have you only got one Gemara between the two of you there, Michael and David?
Yes.
Can you marry two right?
Sure.
Some people
are.
Some people are. Right.
The Birchas Chasanim, the Brachas of Chasanim, are said in the house of the Chasanim.
Yes. Now, we've just got to understand that the Brachas of the Chasanim, what constitutes the Brachas of the Chasanim?
The
Sheva Brachas. Those are the Sheva Brachas. So it means that Rabbonin learned that the Sheva Brachas are blessed, are said, the Veis Chasanim, literally in the house of the Chasanim. Rashi is going to learn it at the time of Kupa. He's not going to translate it literally in the house of the Chosan, but he's going to learn it. The Beis Chasanim means at the time of Nisuin, that is at the time of marriage as opposed to the time of betrothal, as opposed to the time of Kiddushin, the time of Nisuin as opposed to the time of Kiddushin. Yes, there was a space of a year between the two. I know nothing. Okay, you try and find out. Right? Yes.
Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, Apvesa Erisin Mavar Panosa. Even in the house where the Erisin, which would probably be the Kalas house, Mavar Panosa,
so
you would make the Birchas Chasanim.
You make the Birchas Chasanim. So if the Beis Chasanim means at the time of the wedding, what would Bevesa Erisin mean?
At the time of Kiddushin.
So Rabbi Yehuda says, after Veso Erisim Mevorchinoso, that even at the time of Kiddushin, which was a year before the wedding, before the Nisuin, you also made the Sheva Brochas, which is a great Kiddushin deed. What do you make the Sheva Brochas for then?
This is Rabbi Yehuda on the scene.
This is
the great Rabbi Yehuda, or another Rabbi Yehuda?
It may be another one, I don't know.
Because that was the well, the identification here would affect the weight of the...
Well, don't forget that a Bevaisa and a Mishnah is not codification. Okay. It's Tovah Shebalpeh. Right. Carry on, please.
Omar Abaya said Abaya.
Now, so that is the end of the Braisa.
Yeah.
That is the end of Omar Abaya. Now, Abaya is an Amoro, and he is explaining the Braisa. Omar Abaya said Abaya.
Ubi Yehuda in the province.
The two words go together. Ubi Yehuda Shonu. And they learned this in Yehudo. He means what Rabbi Yehudo says. After Beisu Eirchim Aborkin and so, it's in Yehudo they learned what Rabbi Yehudo said. So it means that that they used to make the Sheva Brochas even at the time of Eirusin, of Kiddushin, of betrothal. That was in Yehudo they learned this. That is, that they performed that, they did that in the province of Yehudah, but not elsewhere.
Right.
Now, of course, this is a very big chiddush. This is a very big chiddush. Why? Why did they do it?
Mipneshem es yachad ima, because there was yichud at the time of Erison. The chassan and kala would go into yichud.
Because at the time of Erusin, there was Yichud. That is, the Chosen and the Kala would be together at the time of Yichud. So what's the what does it mean? So what if the Chosen and Kala are together at the time of Yichud?
Okay,
so Yichud means it's got to be a proper Yichud. So at the time of Erusin, they would put the Chosen and the Kala together. And beings, they would put them together for a period, and they would be completely alone. It might be an hour, it might be 45 minutes, it might be half an hour, but that's the minimum it would be. And they would be absolutely alone with the door locked. Now, for a young man and a young woman to be absolutely alone with the door locked, anything can happen. Even a bior can take place. Which would have meant that it would be a bior without the brochas. This is something that is unheard of. It's like eating a piece of bread and not making a mezilecha min oretz. It's like drinking wine and not making very pure coffee. The din is that for the first beer, there is a brocha. So, in case there will be a beer because there's going to be Yehud, they instituted in Yehudah that the Birkas Nesuin, the Birkas Chasanin, the Sheva Brochas are said already at the time of Kiddushin. Precaution. How about what?
In the other province?
They didn't do that. In the other province, they didn't do Yichud. They wouldn't do Yichud in the other provinces.
Is there any explanation for why this took place in different
Well, that's what we've got to discuss. But before we can discuss it, I would like us to have a little bit more knowledge, David. We'll get more knowledge from a little bit more of the Gemara. We'll get more knowledge from the Rashi. But at least it gives us an idea of what is happening. Yeah.
Rabbi, what did they do then at the time of the Nesuin?
Very good question. Please remember that question. So when the Nesuin came along, what did they do? Did they do the Sheva Brochas over again? Or did they rely? Very good question.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, would be they did it again. Because he said after Erison.
Fine, or the after they saw Erison, it's not conclusive that you can say that. You can say after they saw Erison, even in Erison, where the it's not conclusive, but you can say fine. That all right. That is what Abaya tells us. Mitneshimishyached, in order you do those three words?
Yeah.
Because in Yehuda there was Yichud. So, we, of course, we've got to find out, so why did they have Yichud there? I should tell you at this particular stage, and it's going to come up again, but I should tell you at this particular stage that the din that one is not allowed to have yichud with a pnuyo. Now, a pnuyo is an unmarried woman. A pnuyo can be a spinster. A pnuyo may be a widow. A pnuyo may be a divorcee. But she is unmarried. The din is that one is not allowed to have yichud with an unmarried woman. Now, the Chachomim made a gezeiro, and they said, even if that unmarried woman is your aruso, that means your betrothed, also not allowed to have yichud with her. But that was a law that the Chachomim introduced. In Yehuda, they didn't have that law. In Yehuda, they said, we want Yehud to take place at Erusin. Very strange law. We don't know the reason for it. But it'll become clear as we go on.
Rabbi, is there a provision made for example? Let's say that they have Yehud, and there's a Bia, and from this Bia, now they say it can be some time until the Nisuin.
Yes.
Let's say that Chas Shalom is an impregnation.
Yeah.
How do they handle? How does the law handle that? I mean, is she mutaret or is she a surah?
No, she's not a surah, not at all.
But the question: what are her kinds of rights? For example, what happens if in the interim after this yichud, before the wedding, the husband dies? Does she? What are the rules of inheritance?
Those laws apply. Those laws apply independently of Nisuin. They are not altered by the fact of Yichud. It's an independent. If there's a child would certainly inherit it. Those are independent laws which will probably still come up. Right? They come up really a little bit later. What is the din of what is her status between Erusin and Nisuin? If they decide not to go on with the wedding, then she needs a divorce. Although there hasn't been a suit, but she needs a get.
If there's been you.
Even if there hasn't been you. Okay. If there's only been Aelson, he said to her in the presence of two witnesses, Hare Atma Kudeshus, leave at the bar, Zukadas Mashevi, Israel. All right, immediately after which she needs a divorce.
She has submitted this point. In terms of boy, the Eris and there was a Yehud, and they went ahead with your Kusam and put in front of Yehud.
No. No, there wouldn't be. There wouldn't be.
So then the would be for the Ksuba,
basically. So, Ksuba, yes. The only question is would you make Shiva this again? That is discussed. Not in the Gemara, but discussed in the Rishonim. All right, please carry on.
Tanya Edoch.
Says the Gemara Tanya Edoch.
We've learned
another Raisa.
Mavarchin Berchus Hassanim, Beis Hassanim. The Berchus Hassanim would be said in the Beis Hassanim.
At the time of
Nisuin.
Of the Erusin. Mavarchin Berchus Hassanim. I'm sorry. Yes, quite right. We make the Birkas Nesuin, the Sheva Brokas, at the time of the Chuppah, at the time of Nisim,
Birkas Erison, Bevesa Erison. And the Birkas Erison would be at the time of the Erison.
So, what the Baraisa comes to tell us is really to enforce a biased statement. That it's only in Yehuda where they made the Sheva Brochas at the time of Kiddushin, at the time of Erusin, because he's Megachev Imo. Because here we've got another brayser that without any qualification or any modification. Birchas Nesuin, the Birchas Kasanim, the Sheva Brochas, at the time of the Chuppah. The Birchas Eirusin, the Brocha for Kiddushin, at the time of Kiddushin. That's all.
Are the terms Eirusin and Kiddushin interchangeable?
Absolutely the same.
Okay.
Eirusin and Kiddushin mean exactly the same. And Chuppah and Nesuin mean exactly the same. So there we've got the deal.
What, Rabbi, what would be your word in English for suing or
Chuppah? The words are, but one has to be careful how one uses them in English. Kiddushin or Eirusin would be betrothal, and Nisuin would be marriage. But betrothal, you must know the distinction between betrothal and engagement. Engagement is tnoi. And one has to know the difference between betrothal and marriage.
Right.
But that is normally how one would translate it into English. Right?
Go on.
Yes, now okay. Go on.
Has the Gemara Birchas HaErusin and Mayim Avarach. What do the Birchas HaErusin consist of? What bracha would you say?
Yes.
Rabban Barav Ido.
Ado.
Barav Ado. Rabba Barav Ado.
Tarvayu.
Both of them said Mishmeid. Tarvayu, both of them Mishmeid or Rav Yehuda Amri. They both said the name of Rav Yehuda.
The name of Rav Yehuda, not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda, right.
Rabbi Yehuda is a Tana, and Rav Yehuda is an Amri.
Yeah.
What did they say is the prophet?
Baruch Atah Hashem, Alakinu Melech Olam, Asher Kishanu Ben Sozo V'Tzivanu, Alu Arayas. The Asalanas are Russos, the Hitalanas and Asuas, i.e., the Chuppah of the Kedushin.
Yes. Just leave it till there. That's all we need go. So, to translate the Brocha, just translate the Brocha for us, please.
Baruch Atah Ad Hashem, Blessed Archim Hashem,
yes,
Akeinu Melech HaOlam, the King of the Universe, Asher Kedushanu, who has made us holy, B'mitzvosah with his mitzvahs. The Tzivano Allah Arayas, and who has commanded us on the
prohibited marriages.
So
he commanded us the prohibited marriages.
So also,
for example, he said that a man is not allowed to marry his sister, and a man is not allowed to marry his sister-in-law, and a man is not allowed to marry his aunt.
He's allowed to marry his niece,
yes.
But this is more prohibited intercourse rather than prohibited marriages, because
there's some things, there's some places that if you can't have intercourse, then the marriage isn't valid in any case. Even without intercourse, it doesn't take, yes. Our lawyer is prohibited marriages, incestuous prohibited marriages, yes, but also
Barcelona as Arusas, and it was prohibited to us the Arusa.
The Aruso, that means if a man betrothed a woman, she still remains prohibited to him. See, even if she's betrothed, she's prohibited. The Hiti is Lona, except in Yehuda, yes.
The Hiti is Lona as a Nesuos, and was permitted to us the Nesuos, the woman who was
married,
i.e. the Chuppah of Kiddushin. It was
married
the true Chuppah and Kiddushin.
When there's Chuppah and there's Kiddushin, then it is, then they're permitted to us. Still there, that's all we've got to go. We've just covered one subject, and now we can go to the Rashi. The Rashi will introduce us to the reason of why there was Yichud in Yehuda. And that is what we want to know. Yes, sir?
When you say Ayyadei Chuppah v'Kiddushin, that means that there's been both, right?
That's
both
right.
And Kiddushin.
And, well, not that there has been both.
No,
that she will have, she will be permitted when there will have been both.
Both Kiddushin and
Chuppah, that's what it means. Now, let us do the Rashi of this. please, the Beis Chasan, the Rashi is where the short lines begin. The short lines in the Rashi, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the seventh of the short lines of Rashi. George, is anything worrying you?
No, I was just offering.
All right. The Rashi or the two inner commas.
It's the ninth line of
Talmud. It starts Beveis Chasani. Harry, are you comfortable there?
Yeah.
Philip? Right? Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes.
Beveis Chasanim and Beveis Chasanim Kusher Nefnesol L'chupa Nisuin. When she goes to the Chupa Nisuin, the Chupa of Nisuin, that is what is meant by Beveis Chasanim, not necessarily the
house of the Chasanim. It's not the locality, but it's the time. Kusher Nefnesol L'chupa Nisuin. When the Kala goes to the Chupa of Nisuin, yes,
that is when
one makes the Birkas Nisuin, the Sheva Brachas.
Rabbi Huda says, "Af the Beis Ha'erusin, Af the Beis Ha'erusin, Kishem Mekatra, when he is Mekadesh, or when he betroths her, Mavarch and Kol Birkas Chasanim, he would make all the Birkas." All the birth of Hassanim would be made to the Mefarish, as is explained.
As he explains further on, yes.
Omar Abai, Rabbi said, there'll be Yehuda Shana, and in Yehuda was learned.
Yeah, you'll have to say, if the square brackets, as I've told you before, always said, you have to be Yehuda Shana, Hoda Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda Shana.
Right.
That's what Rabbi Yehuda said, that even the by Beis Ha'erusin the brachas would be said.
That's where they learned that
in Yehuda.
It's only in Yehuda that they learned that. But in all the other provinces of Israel, right, they didn't learn that.
And the reason was because the nation Messiah Dima, by Erusin, that he was Messiah, there was Yichud at Erusin. Kadeshia hey libo gaspa, so that his heart would be wanting after her, or
no, he should be gaspa, he should be accustomed to her already, he should be free with her, he should be at home with her, that they are
not be intimidated by her.
Well, you
know, the way it's used,
that there shouldn't be any now, what do you call that in English?
Inhibitions,
that's the word. There should be no inhibitions about her. So that there should be no inhibitions. They already had Yichud at the time of Erusin. Yes?
Kittel HaKaman, as we learn further on.
Yes, it explains it further on a few pages, but go on the
Pifot. Because of that, Mevorach and Birchas Hasanim Mitchila. And that's why you say the Birchas Hasanim from the beginning, from Erison. The Tanya B'Masechas Kala, we learned the Masechas Kala. Kala below Brocha, a Kala without the Brocha, the Birchas, Sheva Brochas, Asura Lavala Kenido, is Asur, prohibited to her husband as if she were a Nido.
A very strong deed. So, in order, because there's going to be Yichud, they say then, if there's Yichud, there can be a Biro, and if there can be a Biro, we've got to make the Birchas Chasanim. So, as a precaution, they made the Birchas Chasanim. Mark?
What is this little piece of Gemara that Saul just read, the Septa Kala? When they say it's just as Husser as Anita, do they mean that someone who would do it, it's the severity of the Avera is just as great?
It's just as great as Anita.
But
and isn't she Anita?
Difficult to understand
that. Thank you that you read to the Kuba. I'll explain that to you in a moment. Just remember to ask me, yes?
I find that a little bit difficult to understand, since Nida is specifically right in the Torah.
Yes.
And it's written in the Torah, Shel Nitzav. Torah Shel Nitzav. And having intercourse with someone who hasn't had kedushin, the brachas have not been made. It's not in the specifically in the Torah. It just seems like it, as grave as it might be, it doesn't seem like it would be as severe.
Yes, that's a very valid point, and this is something we've got to discuss. You're not quite ready for it, but please don't let me get away with it. All right. There was another point that was being. You asked. What did you ask?
Yes, I'm wondering if the case it occurred to me that when you've got the shuan broken up, the two stages of marriage are broken up. She probably does not, I would think, go to the mikveh before the.
No. Oh yes. I just want to.
So she would be a nida.
I just want to explain that to you. Until comparatively recent times, in Torah dimensions would be until about 800 years ago. Every girl went to the mikveh. If a girl was 12 and a half and she'd already had a period, then when she became Tahora, she went to the mikveh.
Really?
That was until about 800, 700 years ago.
Every time?
Every time, yes. So there was always the Tahara. She went to the mikveh.
Why'd she do it, and why the switch?
Well, there's lots of reasons why it was done, and lots of reasons why the switch was done.
Oh.
You see, it's only now that in California they're beginning to understand these things. That whereas a person might permit himself to have an association with a young lady who was not married to him. But to have an association with a young lady who hasn't been to the mikveh, that would have been completely unheard of. It was impossible. It would have been impossible. So when things became a little bit weaker, not going to the mikveh was a precaution. Because that would be unheard of. You follow? But it's difficult. It's only now in California that you can speak about it. A few years ago, you couldn't even speak about it. Nobody would understand. Now you want to know, so why did they go to Mika in the first place? That in California you still can't understand. You're not ready for it. But learn a little bit more in order to appreciate a little bit more. All right, I'm just telling you these things that you mustn't think that they're not answers for difficulties. The answers for it. Right?
It's even more unthinkable than.
But let us just go on for a little while now. Right. But also, Lord Etuaru says.
Right. This is. Part of the bracha would be also on
the. This is the explanation of the bracha. Michael, are you all right? Yes, but also our Lord Yesu Arusos.
Lord Arusos, and it was prohibited to us the
Arusa,
made Rabbanon, from the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon made this prohibited. Shegazru ala Yichud
Shepenuya,
who made a Gezera against Yichud with a Penuya,
yes.
An unmarried girl.
That is,
woman.
That you there wasn't permitted to be yichud with an unmarried girl who was a nidor. That's no question. But even with a pnuya, with an unmarried girl or an unmarried woman, that wasn't a nidor. That she'd been to the mikveh. that is also prohibited.
Does Pinuyo include Basula?
Yes, Pinuyo is an overhead term for any woman. It means, Pinuyo means empty. She's not, I'm sorry, disengaged, not occupied.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the word Pinuyo means. You follow, you mean Israel today. You come into a bus and you say, Amakom Tafus, is this place occupied? She's a panui, empty, not occupied, right? The Aparuso.
The Aparuso, and even in Arusa, Lohatiru, they did not permit. Yichud Asher Tichnas Lechupa
Asher
Tikoneis Lechupa Uver Brocha, until she would go into the Chupa and there would be the Sheva Brochas.
Kibi Frishis.
Kibi Frishis.
As explained, says Rashi.
Right. Kala Belo Brocha Asura Lebala Kinido. That a Kala without the Brochas Nisuin would be Asur to her husband as if she were Nida.
As if she were a Nida. Again, Mark. You can see how Rashi is stressing it. The second time he mentions it already, within a few lines.
Mm-hmm.
The Adrabonon.
The Adrabonon. Even though it was a Gezerah of the Rabbonon, Namem Mevarchen Vitzivanu the Osarabonon. You'd still say, as it was commanded to us and has been prohibited to us, Kedashkechen B'ner Chanukah, as we find by Ner Chanukah, with the Brachot of Chanukah, that even though it was something that was established by the Rabbonon, nevertheless, we say, sure, Kedushan of
Mitzvah. And I've explained to you already why that should be, and probably it will come up again. But we find that even where the Rabbonon make a din, we still say, we bless Hashem who has sanctified us by His commandments, and He has commanded us. Although it's not in the Torah, but it is Midrabbonon, we make the same bracha.
That might be part of the answer to my
question. Part of the answer. It's part of the answer. It's not a complete answer, but it's certainly part of the answer.
I have an idea of focus here. But the Rabbanan are saying that their commandments have the same focus as
if the Rabbanan would say so, it would have no meaning at all.
They're
it would defect. But the Torah says that it's got it. Remember where the Torah says, if the Rabbonon would say, don't forget that if a rabbi arrogates authority to himself, what he really does is he arrogates authority to himself. That's the right word. If the person, then he forfeits it. The man who arrogated to himself with his very arrogation forfeits it. So he can't do it. But this is what the Torah says. The Torah comes to the judge that will be in those days, and you shall inquire of him, and he that is the authorities will tell you the correct thing, and you shall do according to the word which they will tell you, according to the Torah. Yes, this is the key passage. Al pia Torah asher yerucho, according to the Torah which they will teach you in those days. The alamishpot asher yomru lucho, and according to the judgment which they will give you, ta al te you shall do. Lo sosum min adobor asher yagil lecho, you shall not turn aside from that which they will tell you, your minusmo to the right or to the left. So the Torah tells you to do that. That is the way you've got to listen to the Chachamim. So therefore you can say, Asher Kirishon v'mitzvosov v'tzivonu, that is Hashem commanded us. Is that clear? The whole principle of the Gemara, of why the Rabbonon is so important, that I will still deal with you. But you can see it's a deal from the Torah that we must listen to the authorities. how do we know who the authorities are? That's a different problem altogether. But just know that the man who claims to be the authority, you just keep away from him. The man who is appointed to be the authority, you have nothing to do with him. From that point of view, be very nice to him. Give him every respect. He's got a position. But he's not the person about whom the Torah is speaking about. The person whom the Torah is speaking about is a person who has no appointment. The person doesn't claim to be the great authority. The person would rather not have it placed upon him. But because he stands head and shoulders higher than anyone else, he is the one that is automatically accepted. The Gemara tells us that the time will come before the Mashiach comes when things will have got so bad we'll find a person like that and we'll be in very great trouble. Until a few years ago we didn't have any difficulty whatsoever. There was no question that the Chazon Ish was the authority. Before the Chazon Ish, there was no question that the Chofetz Chaim was the authority. No question. Chofetz Chaim was the authority. Nobody questioned that. Before the Chofetz Chaim, each generation was just no authority. No question about it. Vilna Gaon, no question about it. Had no official position to Vilna Gaon. The strange thing is that after the Vilna Gaon's death, nobody would call himself the Rav of Vilna. Nobody would call it until after the war, Second World War. This great community of Vilna had dwindled down to a few families, and the Polish government appointed a rabbi there. That rabbi called himself, he is the chief rabbi there. That was the first time since the Vilna Gaon that anybody has dared call himself the Rav of Vilna, never mind the chief rabbi of Vilna. One of the great people in Vilna was the Chayodim, Chokmas Odom, man for Danzig, very great. Never called himself the Rav of Vilna, the Mori Tzedek of Vilna, the Daron of Vilna, the Mori Tzedek, the teacher of righteousness of Vilna. That is as far as he is there. He is the authority. But the authority comes from the Torah. The Torah gives that person that right. And we have got to be careful that we take the right person for the authority. It's something that we really take responsibility. We've got to be very careful with that. And people, the great people, are very, very careful before they will accept any responsibility. Once in Johannesburg, I had a very difficult child, and the Ponovijerov was with me. And I asked him, I said, well, I've got to leave here, I'm handing it over to you. He said, I won't touch it. He said, I haven't been a Rav for so many years. Haven't been a Rav, said, I'm out of it. So I won't touch it. I said, well, if you won't touch it, he said, you've got to do it. I said, at least we could let us discuss it. Oh, Daddy was prepared to do it. That's all I needed. to discuss it, yes, but that he would arrogate himself that he's here and he can already, he would never dare do a thing like that. Those are the authorities. Then you know that you're dealing with somebody you can rely on. But when a person says that he's got the aloho and he can paskin and this is what it means, the sulchan aruch means, and if he tells you that calling up women to the Torah, not calling up women to the Torah, is a minhag. What kind of a minhag is it? It is a minhag, it's a precedent. And the precedent is a din. Precedent isn't a custom. But he is the authority. Can call them up. Can't do that. Sorry, you can do that. You may not do that. Yes?
It seems like there was good news and bad news in what you said. You said that the bad news is that we're running out of.
Yes.
The good news is that it comes just before the ship.
Yes. I'm afraid to disillusion you.
It was a long time.
Two of the great Amoraim said, the time before, this is going to listen to that, woe to that generation that will have to go through Portis. So it's very difficult now. All right.
Vehitir lonu and has permitted to us et nesutenu.
It should be et neshosenu.
Neshosenu.
Our wives, hanesu
lonu, who have been married to us, ayedei chuppah v'kiddushin.
That's right.
No, not sure.
Now, what, yes?
I just wanted to ask, to clarify on the term nida. Is a nida also, is a woman that has not gone to the mikvah, but she's beyond her 7 days, or the full period of
it's
waiting,
nido, yes.
Still is a nida?
Yes. Not only is she a nida, but a woman who has never been to a mikvah, and she's already past the age of having a period, she remains a nida until she's... She can be 60 and she can go to a mikveh. When she goes to a mikveh, then she's no longer a nido.
But she goes to mikveh once and then she... Oh, okay.
Follow? That's the way it works. Right. So that is the Feast of Gomorrah. I'm going to deal with one particular problem that arises in the Gomorrah, and then we'll go on with it. We'll finish the Feast of Gomorrah and then we can do our division. The problem that arises from this Gomorrah is, first of all, why did they do Yichud in Yehuda? What was the reason for it? Why did they do it? It says, Kedeshia hey libo gospel, in order that he should be accustomed to her, in order that he should have no inhibitions about her. First of all, let us try and understand, why was it necessary at the time of Kiddushin that he should have no inhibitions about her? That is the first thing that we've got to understand, and that is the first thing that I'm going to explain. Now, we haven't really come up in our studies with the subject of Kinyan. The subject of Kinyan, on the surface, is a very, very simple point. Deeper down, it has its inherent difficulties. But all that Kinyan means is the following. Whenever there is an understanding between two people, I'm using the word understanding in preference to the word contract, which sounds a little bit too legal, but it's the same thing. Whenever there is to be an understanding between two people, it can only become binding if it's accepted by both people. Before the moment of acceptance is when a tangible act is performed. And that tangible act is performed by the agreement to both parties. That tangible act then shows seriousness of intention. and the seriousness of intention binds them to it. The most simple example of all, if I've got my watch and Larry rather likes it, wants to know how much I want for it, I say, Larry, you can have this watch for $500. And Larry thinks that the price of gold is going up, and he says, right, I'll give you $500 for it. Still, that sale has not been contracted. Then Larry says, now I wish to acquire the watch. I say, but Larry, I won't give it to you until you've paid me for it. Says Larry, I can't pay you for it until February the 1st. But between now and February the 1st, I don't want you to be in a position that you can sell it to somebody else. I want to acquire it. So that I'm prepared to do. So what Larry does is he picks this watch up more than three for him, that picks it up. He picks it up with the intention of acquiring it. I permit him to pick it up in order that he should acquire it, and as soon as it reaches 3 to 4 him, it passes over from my ownership into his possession. He has performed a kingdom.
Are witnesses required to acquire?
No, for that witnesses need not be. In other words, the kinyan takes effect even if there are no witnesses. So all that can happen is, I want to sell the watch, or I sell it. Afterwards, Larry comes and claims the watch from the person to whom I have sold it. And there is no question about the facts. I say that a kinyan took place, and Larry says that a kinyan took place, and we agree to it. So the Beis Din will say, once a kinyan has taken place, there's no question about it, you don't dispute that. So no, neither party disputes that. Then it means that Larry acquired the watch, and therefore the sale is invalid. Correct? Now we've got for kidushin, we've also got a kinyan. Man wants to take to himself a wife, he's got to make a kinyan. How is the kinyan? He gives her something of kesef, he gives her something of value. And he says to her, and George, here there must be witnesses. And in the presence of witnesses, he says, you are betrothed to me with this ring according to the law of Moshe and of Israel. Then, if 2 days later, there is a question about the kiddushin, and the lady says that there were no witnesses, and the man says there were no witnesses, and there's no dispute about the fact that there were no witnesses, it wasn't a wedding. Because for that you need witnesses. Without that there can't be witnesses. There can't be a wedding. So there are certain things where wedding, we call it for the chalos, before the effect can take place of the kinyan, you need witnesses. Another case is, I might sell a person a piece of property. For the sale of property, there's got to be witnesses. Because the sale of property means that, let me give you a better example. I'm going to contract a debt. I'm borrowing $25,000. $25,000. And I'm going to give it the $25,000. Now, that means that my property is bonded to the lender to the extent of the $25,000 that I've borrowed. That only becomes a loan if there are witnesses. If there are no witnesses, even if we agree that that's what takes, but the property doesn't become bonded. all it is, there's a loan, but the property doesn't become bonded. So before the property can become bonded, it must be a loan through witnesses. Is that clear? Some things need witnesses for the chalos, and some things don't. Kiddushi needs witnesses, and Tsui needs witnesses. But there's got to be a king. Now, there are two conditions with regard to a kinyan. The one condition is it's got to be a suitable kinyan. Pick it up. A boy is a suitable kinyan. If a person wants to buy a rhinoceros, obviously the kinyan is not going to be a boy. There are different kinyans. If a person's going to buy the Empire State Building, it can't be a boy. So there's got to, can't be picking it up, so there are other. So a kinyan, there's got to be, a kinyan must be a suitable kinyan. The second thing about a kinyan is it's got to be sufficiently strong that anybody that is standing there whilst the kinyan is being done can understand that the kinyan is because it's going to be a change of possession. Understand what it's about. Now we are dealing with Kiddushin, and in Kiddushin there is the usual kinyan. The kinyan that we use for Kiddushin is what we call keser, something of value. In our case it's a ring. The chosen gives the color a ring, and if he hasn't got a ring he can take off his gold cufflinks, and he can use his gold cufflinks. He's permitted to do that. Or he can take a Kruger Rand, which is very good value, and he can offer her the Kruger Rand, and he says, "You are betrothed to me with this according to the Moshevita." Perfectly all right. The Chiddush is that it is suitable and it's strong enough. How the suitability works and how the strength of it works, we will one day discuss. Why is it suitable? What has this got to do with marriage? Why it is suitable and how the kinyan works, that is a run in the dory. Different part altogether. One day we'll have occasion to refer to that run. For the time being, we just have to know that. There's a second kinyan with regard to Kiddushin. Bior is a kinyan. So if, for example, he takes two witnesses and he puts them outside the door, and then he says, "I want you to know, I want you to be witnesses that I'm going to be mekadesh this young lady with beer." And he puts the witnesses outside and he closes the door and he locks the door from the inside, and they are together an hour's time, and they come out afterwards, and the two witnesses will say, mekadeshes, now you are betrothed. The only thing is we've got a law, and the law is that if a person is mekadesh a young lady with bior, he gets stripes. What do you call stripes in he gets malchus midrabon. He's punished for it because it's a pretus. A pretus. How do you translate pretus?
Pretus is sexual looseness. Or even stronger than that. A prostitute.
From
it's a degrading of the woman.
It's a pretus is, it means a breach of etiquette. It's a breach. Poles geder. This is a breach in standards of etiquette, in standards of morality that have been set. This is a breach in that. And for breaching the standards of morality and standards of etiquette and standards of behavior and conduct that have been set, so it's something that's not done. Now, in Yehudo, they wanted there to be Yehudo. Why did they want there to be Yehudo? If it is the kinyan was keset, that was a kinyan. The kinyan wasn't Bior. Yehudin itself isn't a kinyan. The kinyan was kesef. That they wouldn't depart from. To have a kinyan, bili the priestess. That they wouldn't depart from. So the kinyan was kesef. something of value. The kinyan was kesef. But is it strong enough? Is it suitable enough? It's not strong enough. They wanted it to be that, what is the idea of the kinyan? That she becomes his possession, his wife she becomes, his betrothed. Because he's betrothed, and he's scared of her, and he's shy in front of her. To make it stronger, they said, you have me. Is that clear? That is what they did. Of course it sounds risky, and that's going to be our next point. Philip, what do you want to ask?
I have a question that concerning Kinyan Barzia.
Yes.
If Kinyan Barzia is a breach of etiquette or somehow not right.
Yes.
Why in the beginning does it say that Kinyan Barzia is all right?
Yes.
This is similar to like punishments by death penalty given for certain crimes, and we learned that it was so difficult for the punishment to be exacted that it was really just to indicate how serious the breach was.
Yes.
Even though it was never applied. Now, is this a similar... Well,
let us confine ourselves just to the question, not to the example. The question is, why is it, if this is one of the kinyonim, then why isn't it done? You know, one can kill a bird with an ordinary rifle. One can also kill a bird with a cannon. But are you going to use a cannon to kill a bird? You can. You can. You can kill a bird. Look here, but this is just too much. It is too much to the point, to the very point of indecency. I mean, to go, you've got to kill a bird there. There's a bird flying about, and I want that bird. So, there's a pellet gun line, that's all you need. No, you're going to order a cannon from, what's that military camp called nearby? You're going to order a cannon from there. The cannon's going to come, and you're going to get a bomb and a big thing, and you're going to put it in, and now you're going to take aim. There's an indecency about it. You don't need all this to kill a bird. You follow?
Yeah, cool.
And if you use it, doesn't mean the bird isn't dead. Bird is dead. You didn't need all this. There's just an indecency. It's too strong. But you can't. You follow, Philip?
I follow.
That's what it is. Now that is why we have the yichud. But what we've got to understand is, so that is why they have. Why didn't they have yichud in the rest of Eretz Yisrael? Why didn't they have yichud in the Golim? First of all. And secondly, to have Yichud Kadoshi Yehei Libo Gaspo, that's exactly the reason why we don't want Yichud. We don't want Libo Gaspo. We don't want that there shouldn't be any reservation.
We don't want that there shouldn't be anything holding him back. We don't want that there shouldn't be any inhibitions. We don't want that there shouldn't be any shyness. We want all these things. What is the idea that they did it and we... Surely it would have been better hadn't they done it, as we don't do it. Now this is a very interesting thing.
It's naive to expect that 45 minutes all those reservations would be
believed. Oh, it takes a very short time to do these things. Very short time. Very short time.
By the way, once that was accomplished, was there any further contact until the conditioning?
There shouldn't have been. There shouldn't have been, but in Yehuda they allowed them. They But in Yehuda they allowed them to be together. They used the period of that this should be broken down. We don't. Now, I just want to explain.
So it's a continuing process.
That's right. That's a no. No.
They're living together before.
No, they weren't living together.
Living together in the California.
Okay.
No.
Cohabiting.
No. What they did, nobody knew that. I'm not responsible for. But. But he would go to his father-in-law's place where his bride was living, and his father-in-law would say, you know, you've missed the last bus already. And the young man would say, I'll take a taxi. He hadn't even got enough to pay the taxi. He said, I'll take a taxi, it's all right. Father-in-law would say, look here, all right, okay, you sleep in the room, the other part of the house. You sleep there. Now, in Yehuda, in the Galil, this would never have been done. But there it was done.
Galil, he would have been put on the last bus.
and if he didn't have enough to pay the taxi, the father-in-law would have paid the taxi.
Or he would have been walking.
Or he would have put him on the street and he would have walked, but he wouldn't have... under no circumstances would have been... Those were the difference between the two. Now we've just got to understand why it is. And here's a very interesting thing. Very much out of the answer to Philip's question, and I've got to explain this to you. There is the old question when there comes a clash between Halacha and Derech Eretz. From the point of view of Halacha, there is no question this is better. But it's not Derech Eretz. It's not decency. Halacha, look how strong you're making it. How strong the kinyan becomes. Not Derech Eretz. We say, rather less Halacha, and more Derech Eretz. That is the rule in Golil. And that is the rule which prevailed because now we don't do it the way they used to do it in Yehuda. The proof of it is, it's in David, if you don't mind to be gracious. The proof of it is actually in the Torah. The proof of it is, in the Torah it is written, when Hashem made man, he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Everybody asked God, let us make man, who is us? What it should have said is, I will make man. What is let us make man? So, the Chazal say on that, so what is it? The Chazal say on that, I want to read to you the actual words. Although, I'll just read it in the translation. Rashi's quoting Midrashim. Although nobody helped Hashem in the creating of man. Ve'yesh mokom l'minim lirdes. And there is every opportunity for free thinkers to sail into us. There's a proof. God isn't alone. Many gods. Every opportunity is given for the minim, for the apikursim to sail into us. Nevertheless, lo nimna hakosuv milalame derech eretz umidas anova. The Torah does not withhold itself from teaching derech eretz and from teaching attributes. And the attribute is the attribute of humility, of anova. That the greater person consults with the lesser person and gets agreement from him before he does it, although he doesn't need his agreement. But the Derech Eretz is, you get his agreement first. The Rebbeinu Shlomo didn't need the agreement of the angels. That's the Derech Eretz. Although a mistake could have arisen to such an extent that when Ptolemy translated, wanted the Torah translated into Greek, and he appointed the Shivim, the 70 scholars to do the translation, and he said each one is to be put into a separate cell and given a Torah and he must translate it, and if there's any discrepancy, the one who is different from all the 69 others, off with his head. They all took upon himself to translate this, I will make man in my image after my likeness, because they knew the consequences. But the Torah was written for Jews, weren't afraid. Jews have got to be taught Derech Eretz and Anova, what Derech Eretz means and what humility means. Prepare to take the risk. Prepared to take the risk. But Derech Eretz is more important. And that is why we don't have Yichud. The Derech Eretz is more important than the Halacha. And that is a deal. I quoted to you the Chofetz, Ponavizhirovan. Happened once also in South Africa. The Ponavizhirov and his son Levavrom and I, we were having dinner together, and we decided that the next day we would go to a certain town, and there was a very wealthy man. We wanted to interview him for the yeshiva, for the Ponavizhirov's yeshiva in Bnei Brak, and we had to go and call upon the shochet of that town. It was a small place, small community, about 30-40 families there. We had to interview him, and he would arrange the introduction. So he was quite an important person. And as we were traveling to this town, we were traveling to the car, the Ponavizhirov turned to me and he said, you are troubled. And I said, yeah, that's not his name. He said, but I can see you are troubled. I said, yes, I'm disturbed. He said, I know what it is you are disturbed about, and I'll tell you. So he said, you are disturbed, you don't know what you are going to do when we come to this place. This man is going to invite us to a meal, the shochet, and you don't know whether you're going to eat there. I said, that's exactly what's worrying me. Exactly what's worrying me. What am I
thinking? Do you have doubts about the concept of a shochet who was under your jurisdiction?
Yes. You see, it wasn't quite to this standard. It wasn't quite to the
standard.
Wasn't to the standard. Anyway, he said, well, we've got to discuss it. So we reached a conclusion. The conclusion was that Reb Avrom and I would eat in the Ponovisherol food. And that's the way we did it. The Derek Eretz was more important than the Aloha. Derek Eretz was more important than the Aloha. What it would have meant to him that we didn't eat there, it would be a terrible blow to him. That would have been worse than the differences that we would like the poetry to be shifted in a particular way. It wasn't so. Decided on that. But that Derech Eretz is more important than the Halacha. One has to know that. One has to know that. Please don't misunderstand me. If a married woman who is a needle seeks to seduce a man, and he says, well, I can't say no to her, it's not nice to say no to her, it'll insult her. You don't say that Derek Harris comes before. You've got to use your common sense here. I've got to tell you this, I'm sorry, I've got to tell you this. Because I've got to make myself perfectly understood of what it is.
You're implying she's not a
leader. You don't know what it is. So that is how we understand this piece of Gemara. But this is only to break the back of it. Only to break the back of it. So this is a piece of kavanah. Yes.
This is a little off, but does there have to be kavanah at the time that he makes the kinyan?
Oh yes, of course he's got to make it for that.
And the reason I ask is there was we had an incident at a camp, you know, where there was a marriage scene, and the boy gave the girl a band that turned out it was a wrapper. And he said, "Array up the Gadeshi."
Yes.
And they were 80, so they were really concerned. Maybe they did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in the Kavanah, but.
Yes. You know, there are lots of things about this. There's a story by Israel Zangwill where all of this goes on. I can't understand what the Shaila is. I can't understand what the Shaila is.
There's a movie now, and it's really moving. It's actually something that was happening. And then a comic story then developed out of it. And I'm sure that there's that.
Well, Rabbi, but you still haven't understood why it's in the Yehuda. What was there about the environment in Yehuda that led to those deviations?
Now, I'm going to say something, David, but I hope there again, you know, I'm afraid of saying things sometimes because they are misunderstood. Let me put it to you this way. I'm careful about these things. I don't want to be misunderstood on these things and wrong conclusions formed. I've just been to Israel. I came into a certain place, and as I came in, I davened Maariv already. But they were busy davening Maariv. people without me. And I look around and I see there's a young man who has got a wild beard and no tie on it. And he's shaking and shaking and shaking. Another man also something like this. See another person. Tie, hair comb, beard comb. Not shaking it, but standing it up. So I see these two categories. And I look around and I think to myself, anybody coming in doesn't think that the person is shaking so much, he's really dying. And the other person, what couple of Jews there? And the person who wasn't shaking is in the minority. Now, this was, please don't misunderstand me, this was what is known as a Baal Tshuva Yeshiva. I knew immediately that the people no ties and all wild and all that, and we're shaking, those were the violent children. The person who has ties on their head. What about
the teacher?
Huh?
Maybe their teacher.
What is it here that happens? What is it? You see, if you haven't got the substance, then you've got a demonstration, you've got to demonstrate in some way. And that is the way they demonstrate. It's the way they demonstrate. Do anything else. I walk into a bus, I see the same people. There's a seat, and there's a woman sitting there, and that's the only seat in the bus. This fellow, say, there's a seat. I then sit next to a woman. Another person comes in, said, here's a seat. He said, you know, I'm just going two bus stops. Oh, I'll take first stand and sit down and take another first step. He also doesn't want to sit. Doesn't make it an exhibition of it. Who is the person that makes an exhibition of it? Hasn't got very much. Yehudu is the province that suffered the most. The destruction of the temple is the province that suffered the most. There, things are to be more than the din. Exactly as the din and more than the din. And if it wasn't exactly what I sometimes it's better not so strong but more direct. Please don't misunderstand me. There are Baalei Tshuva and there are very many of them today that are developing exactly as they should develop. But there's the other element too. And I don't want you to think that I'm denigrating that. You'll get right. But this is a phenomenon. You follow, that is the way the things work. Things have happened and they show to different things, you see. You will find, you would expect that people who know a lot of Gemara and know a lot of Shulchan Aruch would be stricter than people who know less. Doesn't work out that way. A person who knows his Shulchan Aruch will wait 6 hours between meat and milk. a person who doesn't know Ishul Kanorach will not only wait 6 hours between meat and milk, he will wait 6 hours between milk and meat too. It's not the deen. He wait that also. He's got nothing else to satisfy his Torah. So he satisfies his Torah with what is known as chumras. You know, he works it the other way also. But it can get right. But that is the nature of a person. Now I think that covers this little piece of Gemara. We've just got to do a little bit more. Yes, Philip?
I just wanted to ask a question about the Kenyan without the
Yes.
And I think that you answered the question, but I was a little wrong.
Yes.
If a Kenyan is